Revelation 16, verses 1 through 11. Thus says the word of God. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth." So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a full and loathsome sore came upon the man who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the water saying, "You are righteous, Lord, the one who is, and who was, and who is to be, because you have judged these things. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for it's their just due." And I heard another from the altar saying, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments." Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues. And they did not repent and give him glory. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and did not repent of their deeds. Brothers and sisters, last July 25, 2019, a 426-foot-long asteroid surprised astronomers by passing the Earth at a distance of 48,500 miles. Okay, it's not too close, someone would think. Well, considering that the moon is 238,900 miles far from the Earth, this asteroid passed very, very close, almost five times closer than the moon. In February 15th, 2013, a meteor fell on Chelyabinsk, Russia, leaving more than 7,200 damaged buildings, most of them with shattered windows, and 1,491 non-direct injured people. Some thought it was the end of the world. And some astronomers predict that a 1,115-foot tall asteroid may hit the Earth in 2029. It could cause a catastrophic damage, for it's as tall as the Empire State Building. It's a big one. Well, we trust in the Lord, so we should not be anxious about that. And phenomena like this nurture in people a horrific expectation of calamities related to natural disasters. People always speak of their fear of a meteor shower. Hundreds of movies tell stories of asteroids hitting the Earth, floods that cover buildings in Manhattan, in a cold wave that freezes the Atlantic Ocean. Several TV programs speak of the end of the world and overwhelming cataclysm that could happen suddenly. People are expecting the worst to happen, but they have no idea where the danger comes from. That's why they celebrate New Year, because all they have is here and now, and they know that earthly things are fragile. Revelation also speaks of cataclysmic disasters as a result of God's judgment on sin and sinners who don't repent. In Revelation chapters 8 and 9, John described God's judgments as related to the blowing of seven trumpets. But here in Revelation 16, God's judgments relate to the pouring out of seven bowls. Both set of events, trumpets and bowls, are similar. For instance, both struck nature and mankind. Both resemble the plagues of Egypt. However, there are some differences between them. So some difference must be clear, the difference between the trumpets and the bowls of wrath. Judgments related to the trumpets called people to repentance. Judgments related to the bowls were carried out after the opportunities of repentance. Did you get the difference? Second, judgments related to the trumpets were partial, because they affected only one-third of the population. Judgments related to the bowls are final, because they afflict the totality of creatures over which they were poured out. And third, judgments of trumpets didn't strike man until the fifth trumpet, but judgments related to the bowls strike man from the first bowl. From the first one. So there are some differences. One more important detail before we move on. It may seem that there is a succession between the trumpets and the bowls, as if the trumpets came first and then the bowls. There is no succession like this. They can occur together. One doesn't depend on the other one. So it doesn't happen that way. First trumpets and then the bowls. No. A judgment can be a trumpet for someone and a bowl for someone else. Both kinds of judgment can occur and often occur simultaneously. The only difference is that the trumpet represents a warning. The bowl is the judgment carried out. This is the difference. Thus, the illness that consumed the life of Herod Agrippa, do you remember that? It was a bowl for him, but it was a trumpet for those who were watching this very sad moment. Since time ago, God has used various occurrences in the universe as instruments to punish the wicked and unrepented. Those who disregard the trumpets drift, they may encounter the final terror of the bowls. So the trumpets represent a warning, but the bowls, the judgment in a final measure. This is sad and serious. Those who are not concerned with the trumpets, they must be careful, because the bowls are coming and they can occur right now. It's very important to understand that. So let's see what occurs when the bowls are poured out. First, the first bowl, loathsome sores, verses 1 and 2. Well, we see that, "Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, 'Go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth.' So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a full and loathsome sore came upon the man who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image." So our Lord can use disease or loathsome sores to bring suffering and pain over those who live in sin and disobedience. While the Egyptians afflicted the Israelites who would not allow them to leave, and the Egyptians didn't allow people of Israel to leave and to go to the promised land. When they did that, God struck them with the plague of painful sores. This is in Exodus 9, 8 through 11. Think of Sennacherib's soldiers who died victims of an angel of the Lord. This is important. The Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles 32, verse 21, that God sent his angel. And then the soldiers of that army were dead. This is the first bowl. History books will tell you that their death was caused by leptospirosis. But anyway, God sent the pestilence as judgment against that evil nation. This is the point. Think of Herod Agrippa I, who exalted himself as God before the people, because he gave glory, he gave no glory to God. The angel of the Lord struck him, and he died before the crowd, having been eaten by worms. This is in Acts 12, verses 20 through 23. God has poured out his bowl from long ago. However, when a true Christian suffers under pestilence, he cannot consider whatever afflicts him as a bowl full of the wrath of God, because we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8, 28. So the reason would be a different one, not judgment. Affliction, we have affliction. My father died from cancer, and he was a true Christian. It happens. We know that there are some missionaries, they get sick in their field of work. I have a friend who was a missionary in Africa. He had malaria more than 13 times. I think he was 13 times sick of malaria. You see, so it's possible for believers to be sick and to have very painful disease as well. This happened, but this is different. This is not God pouring out the bowl of his wrath on them. God has a different plan in this case because he is in charge. This passage says that the bowl devastates only those people who have the mark of the beast and worship him. Anyway, when a Christian suffers any kind of heart, any kind of disease, has the comfort of the Holy Spirit in his life. Even when my father was in pain, he was praising God and worshiping him and giving thanks to him, for his mercy endures forever. The second bowl, sea turned into blood, verse 3. So this bowl teaches us that God often uses the sea as instrument of his judgment. The sea turned into blood, it signals that maritime disasters can be a warning to those who live in disobedience, but also severe punishment against the impenitent. One day the waters were turned into blood. Do you remember? When God judged the Egyptians in Exodus 7, 17 through 21. The Bible also tells us that God executes judgment in the sea, as when you break the ships of Tarshish with an east wind, says Psalm 48, verse 7. The Egyptians who went after the Israelites into the Red Sea, they perished. They were drowned in its waters. So God poured out his wrath on them. So this is different from a Christian who dies in the sea. It's absolutely different. Because in this case, God was punishing the Egyptians. But when a Christian dies, drowned into the sea, God is bringing him to the paradise. It's something absolutely different. Third, the third bowl, rivers and springs of water turned into blood. Verses 4 through 7. When the Egyptians afflicted the Hebrews, God ordained Pharaoh to let the people go. Let my people go. Do you remember the song? Yes. That evil king didn't allow God's people to go because of the hardness of his heart. Then God sent a plague over the rivers and springs of water. Exodus 7:24 tells us that the Egyptians had to dig wells so that they could have some water to drink. It is exactly what the third bowl causes. When the angel affects the springs of water, he immediately exalts the righteous character of God's judgments. He says, "You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things, for they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. For it's their just due," he said. Look at this. God's judgments are proportional to the crimes of the persecutors of his church. This is the main point here. In John's time, the Roman Empire had caused the martyrs' blood to run in the open. This passage says that everything the Romans would find to drink would be blood as well. That's what they deserved. Today, no wonder, springs of water all over the world have been polluted, especially in those countries where Christians have been persecuted. Thus, suddenly John heard praises to God Almighty from the altar because his judgments are true and righteous. And we can see this in verse 7. "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments." Whose voices praise God? Those souls of the dead for the sake of the word of God. According to Revelation 6, verses 9 through 10, they were under the altar and they cried to God for justice and vengeance. That's why they praise God now, because they saw that God is righteous and his judgments have been carried out for his glory. Fourth, the fourth bowl, the sun burns man, verses 8 and 9. Occasionally, God uses heat to severely punish those who disregard his will expressed in his commandments. So according to Deuteronomy 28, 22, those who had forsaken the path of obedience would be wounded in this way. I'm going to read the verse. "The Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever." Look at that. It's common for heat waves to bring death and destruction. When we had that heat wave during the summer, I recommended some beloved brothers in his church, in our church, not to come because that was dangerous. So God uses heat waves to scorch people. The Bible is telling us so. And this way he pours out his bowl of wrath on the wicked ones. It does not produce improvement of the suffering. On the contrary, they get worse. Those people who suffer when they are disobeying God, they don't regret, they don't repent. They keep disobeying God. When their hearts are hardened, Revelation 16:9 says, "And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues. And they did not repent and give him glory." They had a warning with the trumpets. They didn't repent, and now God just brings judgment. And they don't repent either. They blaspheme against God. This is so sad. Brothers and sisters, we need to be very careful not to blaspheme against God when witnessing a calamity. This is said by some brothers and sisters in Christ. They said bad things when they saw bad things happening. And some try to justify God, and they say bad things about him. I met a pastor in Brazil. And when a tsunami caused death of 250,000 people in India and Indonesia, he said, "Oh, God could have done nothing in that situation, because that situation is it was absolutely out of control for God." Look at that. He was portraying a weak God. He said that God didn't know what would happen next. That's why God was surprised by the tsunami, he said. You know, even a pastor was able to say that. So we need to be careful, watchful, not to say bad things about God when we witness something bad going on, a catastrophe. The Almighty has control over all of his judgments. And five, the fifth bowl, the beast throne full of darkness, verses 10 and 11. You see that there is nothing too far from our understanding in this passage, you see. There is nothing mysterious. Everything we can see, we can recognize in history. Revelation is speaking about today. It's speaking about yesterday and a little bit about future. So God is strengthening his church. God is always saying, "I'm in charge. Trust in me. Trust in your God. Even if you suffer persecution, just trust in God, because God has everything under control." So when we see the fifth bowl of the wrath of God, the figure of the beast sitting on the throne represents worldly and anti-Christian governments. When such an empire falls, people seem to panic. People under the regime of anti-Christian governments stand scared, taken by desperation and insecurity. I'll tell you, when President Getúlio Vargas died in Brazil in 1956, thousands of Brazilians wept bitterly in streets. When dictator, and I will tell you, he was a dictator, you see. When dictator Kim Jong-il died in 2011 in North Korea, many North Koreans were captured by cameras crying desperately in the streets during the funeral. In both cases, people were taken by hysteria. Psychiatrist Anthony Daniels, commenting the general hysteria in North Korea, he stated, "It's a terrible mixture of fear, terror, and apprehension about the future. Mass hysteria and possibly genuine grief as well." So he was not questioning the sincerity of that hysteria. No, they were crying. They were weeping. They were suffering. Because they panic when their dictator dies. When the power of the beast falls down, they know nothing. They know nothing about what to do. It's reasonable that verse 10 says, "Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues because of the pain." Wow. Verse 11 tells us that people in general didn't repent when going through this kind of affliction. Instead, they blasphemed against God, not only because their leader had fallen, but also because of their loathsome sores resulting from the pouring out of the first bowl. Verse 11 says, "They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and did not repent of their deeds." And look, all time, the Bible tells us, they did not repent of their deeds. You see, this is the reason why God pours out his bowls of wrath. They never repent. They keep disobeying. Nevertheless, it seems too late for repentance now. It's time for the final demonstration of God's wrath. Just as the fall of meteors bring a notion of the end of the world, let's think of God's constant warnings. Today, all people have opportunity to repent and believe. When we compare our lives with God's commandments, we realize how we have provoked the wrath of God. Today is time for repentance. A holy and righteous God won't leave guilty people unpunished. It's not a matter of choice. Justice is absolutely necessary in God. So, he has to punish unless those who are disobeying God believe and repent. Unless we believe and repent, if you're listening to this message now, not only this church, because this message will be broadcast, I'll tell you, repent and believe. Don't wait for God to pour out his bowl full of wrath. Repent and believe the gospel. John 3:36 says, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." So believe and repent before it's too late. This is the message of the gospel. Listen to the words of Paul in Acts 17:30 through 31. "Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." Hear the trumpets of warning before it's time for the bowls of full of wrath. Today, just a meteorite occasionally. In a little while, something greatly tragic will happen suddenly. But in those days, says the Bible in Mark 13:24-27, "But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars of heaven will fall, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of the earth to the farthest part of heaven." And Luke 21, verses 25 through 28 also says, "And there will be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming to the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near." Don't fear this day as someone who will be destroyed because he is despising the word of God and he's despised the salvation in Jesus. Repent and believe while it's time. Then you will be able to long for the day of the second coming of Jesus Christ, and not to fear it, but to say, "Finally, Jesus is coming. I will be free from sin. I'll be free from disappointment. I'll be free from sorrows and pain and death forever." Amen.